You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Having an abortion is a personal and intimate experience that has been debated and argued over for decades. Often the loudest voices aren't those who navigated ending a pregnancy firsthand. Those voices have been drowned out largely by politics and the courts. Today, the choice to have an abortion can look drastically different from one state to another, following the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. And rightfully, there's a great deal of conversations from a legal, medical, and ethical standpoint about the impact that this historic decision has had and continues to have on reproductive rights. But at the heart of this are people that many of us personally know who have navigated abortion for their own reason and on their own terms. So we're going to focus on that today. Joining us are Andy Wilson and Lorraine Aller to share their unique stories. Andy and Lorraine are part of the CAP Radio's newest podcast, This Is What It Feels Like, which shares the voices of people often overlooked or politicized by society, with new episodes dropping on Thursdays. Welcome, Andy and Lorraine.
Thank you so much. Becky.
So this newest episode, which is now available on our website, This Is What It Feels Like, which is hosted by Tara Lopez, it focuses on having an abortion from a very personal lens. I'm curious, what inspired or motivated each of you to become part of this? Lorraine, I'll start with you.
So when I had my abortion, I was really, really young. I was 17. So it felt like something I couldn't talk about until I was a little bit older, when I was in my early 20s. And it made me realize, as Roe v. Wade was like, this was about to be overturned, I wanted other people to know that they weren't alone in their experience.
How about you, Andy?
Yeah. So when I had my abortion, I felt like it was a very isolating and difficult experience, as somebody who also felt like I had a lot of privilege at that time. So I thought, if this was difficult for me, what is it like for other people? And I started to look into trigger bans that were already happening before Roe v. Wade was overturned. And that's really when I got passionate about trying to support and help other people.
You know, Andy, what aspects of abortion do you think people miss or get wrong? You know, because it's talked about so much, you know, in kind of like the noise of news. But, you know, a lot of people don't really have these really personal conversations with someone who's actually gone through this.
Yeah, that's a great question. Just how normal it is and how many people have them all the time. And I think are scared to talk about it because it's so destigmatized, even like, or it is stigmatized, excuse me, just based on people who I think are, you know, anti-abortion all over the country. And that was a big reason why I was nervous to speak out when I went through it, just because my family, parts of my family are anti-abortion. And just like the louder we get and tell our stories, is going to normalize it for people who don't want to speak out.
Yeah. I'm going to play some clips from the podcast, which people can listen to today, anytime they want. And it starts with you, Lorraine, because there's a part of the podcast of this episode that you really give us a glimpse of the decision of whether to tell people, coupled with how others respond if you choose to be open. So let's just start off with the experience that you shared first.
So I had one instance after my abortion where I was in the kitchen and I think some of it ended up getting billed to my parents. And my dad very calmly asked me if I was pregnant and I said no, and then never brought it up again, which that's exactly what I needed at the time, was just like, okay, as long as you're good, we're good. It's totally, I'm not gonna pry. I pretty much tried my best to suppress the whole experience until I reached my early 20s. And then I started to realize people around me had had abortions, or I had friends who were in the process of getting an abortion. And that started to help me realize, like, oh, like, this isn't something that's shameful. This is something that's normal. This is something that people need to do and know themselves well enough and understand their bodies well enough if that's something that they can handle at the moment.
Yeah, Lorraine, given that you were young at the time, you were 17 years old, but I love that clip because it shares like capturing how you evolved into adulthood. What did that teach you?
It really taught me that, like I said in the interview, I think people really truly know themselves well enough to know if it's the right time to have a child or if they want a child at all. I've even had friends who are parents and couldn't handle another kid who have had abortion. So like the stories are just, there's just so many different reasons why people do it. And I think it's up to them. And even though I was 17 and really young, I knew that it was not right for me and it wouldn't have been right for the child either.
Andy, I mean, you also share the moment when you chose whether to open up to your roommates and also on the flip side, having to manage other people's feelings. So let's take a listen to that.
I told some people that night and, you know, everybody's hugging me and like, we support you. And then one person specifically asked like, so are you going to be a mom or like, you know, you're going to have a baby, like assuming like I wouldn't have an abortion for some reason. That was the first one that kind of put me off. I was like, oh no, I'm not, I don't think I'm planning on keeping it. One in particular was closer to the day I was having my abortion and a roommate was leaving for an international trip before Christmas. And she asked if she could touch my belly. Yeah. And that was really shocking to me because I didn't want any emotional connection. I didn't want to think of it as a fetus or a baby. It was an embryo to me. I did not want to think of it as a baby. So that was really upsetting. And I just had to tell her, no, I'm sorry, you can't do that. And that's not the way I think about this. And then she just left.
Yeah, Andy, I mean, like you're choosing to be vulnerable and open with people. But, you know, I think what I learned from that experience is, you know, people can bring their own stuff into how they react to what you're sharing.
Yeah, exactly. And I expand on this a bit in the interview. I think it's just so important to listen to people's experiences. And I think everybody's experience is so different and like the reason why they're having an abortion or, just there's so many instances. I've had several friends like have miscarriages or medical complications as well. And that's not talked about enough. It's just, I think more people need to listen and just be supportive and ask what folks need who are having those abortions.
Given that this is such a unique experience from one person to the next, no story is the same. Do you have some advice for someone about kind of navigating that decision of who to tell, when to tell?
Yeah, I think just, you know, the people that you trust the most around you. I also had a lot of friends, even though it was a bit of an isolating experience at first, the more I talked about it, there were people who rallied around me. I was able to tell my sister, who was a big supporter. I'm very grateful for that. I think you know in your heart, like who those people might be. And I do feel like there is way more education out there now since Roe v. Wade has been overturned, and hopefully more people are understanding and like ready to listen and have those conversations and support.
Lorraine, what advice, if any, do you have for someone who's kind of, you know, hinging on deciding whether to be open about this and sharing it with other people?
Similar to what Andy said, you know, I think you know the people you can trust deep inside, and the people who love you are going to support the decision.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about some firsthand experiences of navigating an abortion. And this is in collaboration with CAP Radio's new podcast, This Is What It Feels Like. So I want to get to support and how to offer it. And Andy, I want to start with you because you talk about and you explain how you wish you were supported by loved ones. So let's play a quick clip of that and then we'll talk about it after.
I just wish people would have asked me more of what I needed rather than focusing on the actual like, oh, like Andy is gonna like abort a baby or like the way they saw it, I think in their eyes, or can I be there
with you? Is there anything you need after your abortion? Like, the aftercare is just as important as is during, in my opinion. If I know anybody going through that, I just mostly want to listen to their experience too. I think a lot of people just need to talk about their experience and find some kind of common ground with people, or at least that's like what I needed afterwards. And it's different for everyone. Pregnancy does not look the same across the board at all. But just kind of knowing like, oh, this is what taking the pills at home is probably going to look like, and the timing of everything, and these are the things you should have. I just think it's so important to share all the little details like that, so people feel loved and supported and cared for, and knowing like it's okay. And abortion is completely normal. And however you feel about it, if you're sad about it, if you regret it, if you're like, that was such an easy decision for me, it's everything is acceptable and, you know, completely valid.
You know, obviously, there's not a handbook for this, and resources can be really hard to find. And that also can apply to loved ones who know someone who's going through this. What advice do you have for someone who wants to offer support, but through something like this, but wants to do it right and make sure that they don't do anything that creates unintended harm, Andy?
I love that question so much. There are so many local organizations, like in every single state, who have been doing this work for a long time, who often have resources listed on their websites, have social media. There's so much like reading you can do, and just like listening to stories like Lorraine and mine. Like, I do think it's just becoming more publicized, and also learning about the actual processes of having a medical or a procedural abortion. I think it's something that anybody can learn. Obviously, like, again, everybody's experience is different. There are things that can happen, and you can still be supportive in those moments, as you know, if there are any complications. But like, especially with like medical abortions and seeing how easy it is to like get information on pills specifically, I think that's one thing that like everybody can do. And as I mentioned in the interview, like the aftercare, postpartum care in general, like for pregnancy, just because your hormones change and everything going on, just I think that's a really good place to start, is like checking out local abortion workers and organizations and listening to them.
Lorraine, I love a part that you share about just like the power of community and shared experiences. So let's take a listen and then we'll talk about it after.
If I had access to these stories, I don't think I would have felt as isolated or as alone or as like ashamed. I think there's all these myths around like who gets abortions and why. And I think the louder people are about their experiences, the more we can normalize it. I think it's much easier to have less empathy when you're talking about this general concept than it is to hear like one-on-one stories. Like, I'm sure if I sat down face-to-face with a lot of pro-life people and had an open dialogue with them, they would realize like I'm a human who made a really tough decision, that I'm not this hypothetical concept, that I'm not this like theory or large political debate, that I'm like a real person who had to make a really hard decision that was the best thing for myself in the long run.
And Lorraine, that's such a poignant realization, you know, just the power of being vulnerable and being open to share a personal experience, to kind of break down, you know, an issue that can be so stigmatized. I mean, when you reflect on how you were able to come to that realization, how were you able to come to that?
I think it started, so a few different things. My friends and I talking about it when we were in our 20s. And then also now I'm a nurse. And so when we do the maternity section, you learn a lot about like fetal abnormalities and just different reasons on why people have abortions. And that doesn't necessarily matter, but I feel like people think that some people are using it as an alternative to birth control when really, like, people who want to have kids sometimes have to have abortions, and that's also really devastating. And then there are just some people who in the moment are not ready to have a kid.
Mm-hmm. Andy, yeah. How has your experience, you know, shaped your life and what you do in your life?
It has completely changed my life for the better. I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing right now. Like, I mean, I understand a lot of people have children and continue to do their jobs, but I feel like I'm just able to support other people in their decision making, whether it is pregnancy or abortion, and talk through those things. And it gives me so much joy, especially in this time where it's just getting more dangerous and scary by like the day. I've met so many incredible people doing this work that need to be amplified more, in my opinion. Yeah, I'm just so grateful to do my job. I work with specifically more musicians and artists right now. I've recently been working with Shout Your Abortion on campaigns and trying to get resources out on the road at merch tables, especially in the South, and just people speaking out and bringing more awareness about abortion in their communities.
And Lorraine, I imagine, you know, you mentioned you're a nurse, you know, this lived experience also shapes how you care for others.
I don't work in labor delivery or anything like that, but it's also given me a perspective of just, yeah, it really is up to the individual. And I have a lot of patients who don't have any family or anyone to care for them. And, I don't know, it's just a personal decision and that shouldn't be involved in government.
Yeah. Finally, I'm wondering if both of you have already listened to the episode, because it just became live not too long ago. And if you did, great. And if you didn't, just overall, like, being part of this with other people in this episode, I'm just curious how you feel about it and what it adds to your own personal journeys of navigating this. Andy?
It was so beautiful to listen to. I cried last night. Just hearing everybody's stories, it's exactly how I see this movement, and knowing that all our stories are different and there's so many common themes just spread throughout them, and that we can all come together and like share this powerful message. I just love hearing everybody's stories and the way we're normalizing abortion and like saying the word, like it's so important. I'm very grateful to be a part of this.
How about you, Lorraine?
The episode was really beautiful to listen to. It also brought me a lot of closure, which was really interesting to just get my story out there. And yeah, I think these are really, really important and beautiful stories.
Well, Lorraine and Andy, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Andy Wilson and Lorraine Allard are sharing their unique stories of navigating abortion. Andy and Lorraine are part of CAP Radio's new podcast, This Is What It Feels Like, which shares the voices of people who are often overlooked or politicized by society. New episodes drop on Thursday. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.